They still make them that small. Yeah. When they start out, you know, and you got from head to feet, you know. Next thing you know, they're looking you in the eye. Got the snow scraped off and the temperature up and okay. Well, let's glad that you came tonight, and we'll see if we can learn a little bit more about defeating discouragement through prayer. Oh, lest I forget later on, there are the new March, April, May daily breads out there, if you would like one or two. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for an opportunity to study your word together. We pray that you'll guide us in our discussion here tonight, and that, again, you might use us to be a help and encouragement to others as we pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, let me hand out a couple more sheets. Maybe I should explain what you're getting here.
Wow, what is all this stuff? This is actually a December letter, but I thought, just by way of introduction to our missionary that's coming in on Sunday, you might want to read through that, get to know her a little bit. If nothing else, you learn how to spell her name, which we weren't doing right. But and we were talking last week. We talked about short prayers and different things, and it just kind of turned out this week I get tons of emails from all over the place. But it addressed a couple of those areas, and I thought, well, this is just something you can read. These are previously published articles, but they came out this week, so I'm just kind of passing it on. If you find something in there you don't agree with, well, I didn't read every word of it, so, but it looked interesting. What does it really mean to pray without ceasing? Okay, we touched on that just a little bit, I think, is the first two pages. I had this, going to do it through the copier where it wasn't going to do both sides, but I left and came back, and by that time the copier went back to normal, so you got lots of sheets. And then 20 prayers to pray throughout a busy day, okay? And just some kind of random thoughts, not that you have to pray these prayers of the writers, but just the types of things that you might consider praying if that's not been a habit of yours. So anyway, read to your enjoyment. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Okay, so we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 9 through 13. And we started looking at this defeating discouragement through prayer. And we saw that it really is a twofold benefit when we do pray for those that are discouraged. First of all, it gets our own eyes off of our problems and things that we're discouraged about as we focus on somebody else and we pray for them. So we get a benefit, they get a benefit. It's kind of a win-win thing. And mentioned too here about the sin of omission, where it talks about there in James, to knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. So we probably, at least now, know we ought to pray for those that are discouraged if we didn't think we should before that. Anyway, it's going to be a benefit to us. And we saw, too, that there were several ingredients to this praying to defeat discouragement. The first one we touched on here last week, if you're able to be with us. And that was to pray frequently. We see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, that we might be perfect, and might be perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And not that they prayed day and night, you know, 24/7 kind of thing, but they frequently prayed for them. And the suggestion too was when the Lord brings somebody to mind, that we pray for them. You know, maybe you wake up in the night and somebody's name or face or whatever kind of pops up in front of you, pray for them. They might be in special need at that particular time. And, you know, that would be kind of nice if we thought people were doing that for us. And it doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out prayer either. It can be a brief prayer. And that was touched on here as well, that a lot of the scripture or the prayers that we find in scripture are not some long drawn out thing. It isn't like a term paper where you know, the longer it is, the more credit you get kind of thing. The Lord hears and answers all kinds of prayers, short, long, whatever. And they gave the example of Peter when he's sinking into the sea, Lord, save me. And the Lord heard him and he responded. And so he can respond to us when we've got short prayers too. The big thing, what's, we're talking about prayer, but is there anything that potentially could interfere with our prayers being heard or answered? Mark?
You got sin before you. You always need to confess your sin before you.
Right, and you need to make short accounts, okay, so you don't forget about them. That, you know, that's what, and I'm satisfied people don't do that, but, you know, we talk about it at communion time that you want to make sure you're partaking of these elements with a clean heart. Well, you don't want to wait from month to month. First of all, you're going to need more time than we're giving you probably to take care of those things. And you're not going to remember them all anyway. So it's like, okay, and this pray without ceasing, the idea was to pray or always be able to be in the attitude of prayer, that there's nothing keeping you from being able to just run into the Lord, say what you need to say, get out, and keep on doing what you're doing. I think I remember sharing that with you. You know, here you are, you're driving down the freeway, and it's one of these icy days, and somebody's doing one of these wobble jobs in front of you, and or in the other lane, next thing you know, coming through the ditch and up and into your lane. You don't have a lot of time to confess and repent and get everything straight. No, you need to, Lord, help me. Lord's going to hear those short ones, but you need to be prayed up to that point. So you don't need to get rid of a lot of garbage, you know, before you can get down to business. Okay, so that brings us kind of up to where we're at here tonight, and that is to pray earnestly. This is probably not something maybe you want to share, but if you can think, you know, if there was an example in your own life where you were praying earnestly, I mean, you're putting your heart and soul into this. Okay? And the one that comes to my mind kind of overlaps with this first one. And that was when I was praying in an emergency room for when my first wife was inside the doors, that God would spare her life. Well, the problem was, I wasn't living for the Lord. I had all kinds of garbage that I needed to get cleaned up in my own life before the Lord was going to hear and answer me. So I don't, you know, I guess I hadn't thought too much about that. Okay, was that a prayer the Lord would have did answer? You know, I just trusted him that, you know, that was his will, and, you know, that was the way it was going to turn out. And I didn't get mad and angry with him. But, you know, there's probably times in your life where you probably weren't praying as Christ did in the garden, great drops of blood, but you're putting your heart and soul into it, you know. And that's what God's saying. Put your heart into it. Don't, you know, I don't know. Did any of the rest of you grow up? I think he gives the example in here somewhere. The memorized prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I wake. You know, yeah, well, I don't know. As a little kid, that's kind of what I was taught. And so I would say this little prayer every night. And, or, you know, people, they get a little goofy with their prayers too, even for food. Now you can't repeat this for your brothers, okay? Because they'll try it. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God, let's eat. You know, I think, no, okay? You know, God doesn't want some mechanical thing where you hit the button and it's the dinner time prayer, you know, and it's... Now, I'm thinking about my prayers, you know, and I pray for her. I get out of bed in the morning. I set the clock before I want to get up. And I'm sure a lot of those sound an awful lot alike, but I'm thinking about what I'm saying. It's not just, you know, rote memory thing. You know, but he's saying, pray earnestly. Again, we see there in verse 10, they were praying night and day exceedingly or earnestly that we might see your face and might perfect that which was lacking in your faith. And God does, again, want us just to be kind of a, you know, going through the motions. Has this ever happened at dinner? You know, and somebody prays, and then a little later, you know, we're getting ready to eat, and then somebody says, "Did we pray?" It's like, weren't you listening? Where were you at? You know, do we have to be the one praying in a group setting? Do we just shift our mind into neutral and just listen to them? Can we pray along with them? Yeah, maybe we're adding a few things as we go along. Okay, we can join in with others as they pray. But here he was talking about, he starts talking about David and Solomon, and you know, and we're studying this. We're going to be up to this here and in Sunday school in our next lesson or so, when David is looking to Solomon, you know, he's going to be the next king and he's going to build a temple. And God, and David gives him some instructions. And he says to him, he said, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind." And then he adds, "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. And if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Okay? So the thing is, God knows if we're plugged in, if we're paying attention. He knows our heart. We're not going to impress God with our prayers or, you know, if we know the big words to use. He knows if we're sincere or insincere. He's the one that's listening and choosing whether how or when to answer. So we want to make sure that it's a good prayer. This one verse is not in here, but you might write it off to the side. It's one you know. James 5:16, where it talks about an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth or accomplishes much. But it was an effectual, fervent prayer. It wasn't a yawner. It wasn't a rote memory prayer. It was something people were really thinking about what they were saying, knowing who we're talking to, and God responds to that. Anybody want to add to this this last point here? Praying earnestly. Okay, we're all in agreement. That's probably a good idea. All right. How about this? Pray specifically. We see this as we go on into the rest of the chapter here. He says, he desires that we might see your face, that we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Okay, so he starts praying, but he says, you know, we're really looking forward to seeing you. We want to do what we can to help perfect or complete maybe something that's lacking. I mean, again, these are kind of new believers, and they probably need a little discipling, a little coaching along. Maybe they had some weak spots along the way. But he starts mentioning some specifics. And I don't like to analyze people's prayers, you know. But you've probably heard people at some point in time, God bless all the missionaries. Okay. And my question is, if I was on the other end, God's asking, and somebody's saying, "God bless all the missionaries," I'd say, "Well, how? How do you want me to bless them? In what way do you want me to bless them? Showers of blessing? Blizzards of blessing?" be a little bit more specific. Like he says here, non-specific prayer. "God bless so-and-so." You know, "God bless Joe." Well, how? Why? In what way? God knows their needs, but at the same time, he wants us to think through what we're asking for. If I were just to ask you folks, "Bless me." And you go, "What? What does he want? I don't know." And the thing is, God knows, but he wants us to specifically ask. And so if we're going to pray for a missionary, how about Okay, the Rayfelds are the missionary that we're going to have for this next Sunday. And down there in Uruguay, you know, I mean, it's a different world than which we live in down there. Different languages, all kinds of different things, the culture. Now, they've been there for a while, so they're able to speak the language fluently and those sorts of things. But, you know, they have, and we speak the language of the people that are around about us, but we still struggle, don't we, on how do I reach to this neighbor or this relative or this friend or this person at the store or whatever. How do I talk to them about the Lord and somehow working that in? You know, that we can pray that, you know, God will enable them to effectively reach out to those that are around about them. You know, he's a teacher in the seminary. Now, I've been around different seminary professors. Some of them not just stand and talk over your heads, but you have no clue what they're talking about, you know? I'm sure whatever they had to say was really good, but it's like, I don't understand where you're at, where you're going. How do I put this to use? We had a guy that, what was his name, Duncan? the guy from California came in when we were at Bible college, and he was a speaker for the week. And, you know, and I think we probably all walked out of those chapel services kind of the eyes glazed over, trying to figure out, what was he talking about? You know, it's like, and then you get other people that come in and talk, and it's like, hey, it's right down where we live. You knew what they were saying, what you could do with it. So you need preaching that way, but, you know, we need prayers that way. And he mentions here, if they're sick, pray for their healing. Don't just God bless Holly. No, God give strength to Holly as she recoups from her surgery and guard her against infection. You know, I will say that here a little bit later on, you know. You know, she said, well, I no longer feel like I've been hit by a truck. Now I just feel like I've been hit by a Mini Cooper. So that's kind of her version of, you know, when the doctors or the nurses, what's your pain level, 1 to 10 or 1 to 5? And let's see here, you know, hers was a truck to a Mini Cooper, okay. And at one point, Mary, she kind of messed herself up moving some furniture. I said, don't be moving any furniture for us. She said, oh, there's no danger of that. But, okay, so we can pray for people. And if somebody's discouraged, that we can pray that God will encourage them. And the thing is, if we're going to pray that God will encourage them, are we willing to be a part of the solution? Or we just want God to do it all? You know, yeah, sometimes we're hoping that God will send somebody else along to do that, when he really wants us to step in there and do something. You know, it's kind of like, okay, if people are lonely, Lord, bring somebody over to see him. Well, maybe he wants you to go see him. And so anyway, he's praying for 5 specific things here for these Thessalonians. First of all, he says that he wants to see their face, okay? And he wants to make the effort to go to see them. Right now, he's kind of providentially hindered from being able to do that. But, you know, most of the time, we're not providentially hindered from helping somebody. It's just whether or not we want to do it. He says, put feet to our prayers, obeying the command we find in James 1:22. Where it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Okay, so don't just think of all the excuses you can use for you not participating and helping, but think about, okay, maybe you need to pray. Lord, show me what I can do to be of help to this person or to be an encouragement to this person. Now, granted, not everybody's going to be helped or encouraged the same way. You may think you're helping and just end up being an irritant, you know. And so, you know, a little insight from the Lord might help. And you can ask people, is there anything I can, if people, you know, you've been in situations of, well, if you need something, and I say the same thing, if you need something, let me know. And how often do they? Nah, I can handle it. I can do it, you know. It may kill me, but I'm going to do it. I'm not going to ask for any help. Chris, don't ask for any help on your roof. my rake doesn't go that far. You're going to have to answer for all these idle words one of these days. Yeah, but you know, the thing is, okay, so the other thing is he says he wants to perfect what was lacking in them. He whatever those current needs might be, maybe they were a little bit discouraged, you know, because we said this is a tough place to be a Christian. This is you know, pagan city, and it wasn't, and their friends and neighbors and relatives weren't all going to be excited that they've become Christians now. And there might be specific areas. Maybe they were fearful, you know. What if my boss finds out I'm a Christian now? Is he going to fire me? You know, is the landlord going to throw me out of our house? You know, he'll no longer rent to me or whatever. You know, they may have different issues, and he doesn't go into a great detail as to what there are. But we find some of the heroes, if you will, some of the big names in Scripture, the Hebrews 11 folks, they were lacking at times. They weren't always on the mountaintop. You think of Abraham, you know, and he was kind of getting tired of waiting. You know, so he comes up with plan B, which wasn't a good plan. You know, and maybe it had been good if somebody could sit down with Abraham and talk to him about waiting on the Lord. You know, or Elijah. Remember, okay, he has a mountaintop experience, literally, with Mount Carmel, Baal prophets. They kill, 800 of them or whatever, and all the rest of that. And then there's that one lone woman, Jezebel. The queen wants his hide nailed to the wall, wants him wiped out. He's scared, and he's running for his life. And he finally stops when he just absolutely wore out. And he was discouraged. You know? You think, hey, if Elijah could get discouraged, you think it might happen to me? Yeah. Now, he may or may not send angel to you to feed you and give you something to drink and tell you to go back to sleep for a while. But, you know, everybody's got a different kind of breaking point, you know, or that Achilles heel. You know, we got our weak spot, and it's probably as different as there is people here. We all have something that's lacking at some point in time. And maybe the Lord would use us to be that encouragement to somebody else. And then too, he says, Paul also prays that God would direct our way unto you, there in verse 11. He's looking for God's will to be accomplished. And we can pray that God's will be accomplished in other people's lives and in our own. I mean, you may hear people talk or pray, you know, unless God intervenes, they've got stage 4 cancer, you know, unless God does a miracle here, things aren't going to change. Well, God can and does at times, but not always. But he wants us to be looking to him for the direction in our lives. And he desires to direct our paths. He says, we think about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And God will direct our ways. He says, the last phrase of that is he will direct our paths. And God knows the right path for us to be on. Sometimes we come in the fork in the road and we, okay, which way do we go here? You know, which is the right direction? And they both may look good to begin with, but one's probably most likely the one the Lord wants us to be on. Once in a while, he may give us a choice. But he can help us to make right choices. And the thing is, like with our, I use that for an example. I mean, we may not know necessarily what God's will is for the person sitting next to you in the pew. But we think of our missionaries, you know, and they're thousands of miles away. You know, or think of the Christies, and they're over there in France. And they're needing some different, more room for them to meet. And so, you know, he's talking about talking to somebody that, you know, they might be able to work something out to get a little additional space for them. Well, we can pray that God would direct them to the right path, to talk to the right people, you know, and to provide for their needs. And that would be an encouragement to them. Then he says, too, number four, he says, that the Lord will make you increase and abound in love towards one another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. And again, he's talking about that agape love, that self-sacrificing love. You know, Jesus demonstrated that love for us, as he says there in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. Well, in most cases, we're not going to be required to lay our life down for somebody else. But I like that one thing he put in here, where he says, we're all called upon to lay down our busy schedules and take time to encourage somebody. He not may ask you for your life, but would you lay down an hour for somebody? Or whatever the Lord may need. You know, and he said, and went on to say, Satan's best and most effective hindrance is to get us too busy to be encouragers. I said, oh, I'd really like to help, but places to go, people to see, things to do. You know, I got my to-do list and there's no space on there for you. Sorry about that. Well, with all that God has to do, keeping this universe from banging into one another and keeping track of what's going on in this world and all of us asking for something. What if he said, get back, I'm kind of busy right now. Can you get back to me later? You get those phones, you call. All of our customer service people are busy. Can you call back later or check us out on the web? You know, no. God doesn't do that to us. And so, in turn, we ought to be willing to reach out to others and demonstrate love towards them by giving them some of our time. And then he says, lastly, he said to the Thessalonians, pray that God would establish them, strengthen their hearts, give them that inner strength, you know, give them a spine, you know, gummy worms are kind of good to eat, but they're kind of wobbly otherwise. God doesn't want us to be like gummy worm Christians, just without a spine, without willing to stand up for anything. And, you know, make us strong. Make us believe what we believe and stick with it and not be just, well, you know, whatever it takes to keep peace, if we have to bend a little here and there. But he also talks about here in closing, he talks about them being unblameable in holiness. And the thing is, We're all capable of sin. We can all sin. We can, when it talks about being unblameable, anybody can make any accusation they want to against you. And that's kind of scary because you can get accused of horrible things that you didn't do. And how do you prove that you didn't do something? You know? It's one person's word against another. But what God's saying is make sure that people can't really be able to point the finger at you and say, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're whatever. You know, they can make the accusation, but just make sure that it's we're living in such a way that those can't stick. At least they're not true of us. And if we do sin, and we can, and we do, that we make sure that we confess those sins. We admit to them. We don't just try to excuse them. You know, well, everybody else is doing, or I'm not as bad as so-and-so. No, that we willingly confess the sin, forsake it, and be restored to right relationship with the Lord. And so just in these, and there are more, but just in this passage here, you say some ways that we can pray to help defeat discouragement in our own lives and how we can pray for others to defeat discouragement in their lives, because you don't have to go too far to find people that are discouraged, okay? And unfortunately, 20 has kind of overflowed into 21, you know? It hasn't all gone away yet. And so we can pray frequently. We can pray about a lot of different things. But when somebody comes to mind, pray for them. Pray earnestly, you know? Be real, be genuine in your prayer, and then be specific. I mean, you may not know all the details, but for the details you are aware of, that that we pray, not just, you know, again, God bless the missionaries or whatever, that we, okay, Lord, from the best of my knowledge, here's some areas of their life that may need some attention. Can you help them here? And God will. He hears and he can respond to us. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that even though discouragement can come into our lives, we don't have to stay there. We can pass on through that. And with your help, with the prayers of others, you can help us to overcome discouragement in our lives. In the same token, we can be the ones who are seeking to pray and to encourage others. It may require something more of us than just prayer. And help us to be willing to do what we need to do, whether it's time or energy or whatever, that we're willing to commit that to help others. And we thank you for that. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.